So now let's look at the some of the common tasks that we were talking about here. So what do we do when we have to identify the gaps, or what task list do we have to prepare? So what are those? Is setting up the data collection, APIs, platforms, tags, cookies. Now understand that even the data collection process can have a gap in it. How are you going to collect the data? Like I said in the beginning, do we have all the data that we need? Or is there some data that needs to be acquired? Where can this data be acquired from? Is there certain APIs that I can use maybe to get the website data or the analytics? Are there certain platforms that can again help me with the data? Is there any way I can integrate or pull the data from that particular platform? Tags, is there any way with certain tags that I want to look at? Or the various tagging options that are there. Cookies, what cookies do I want to retrieve? How can I actually acquire those cookies is also very important, all the data within the cookies. So if you'll know, when it comes to the cookies, you're basically looking more at what website the person is viewing and what information they're looking for. That will help me to more personalize the experience as well as structure my data or my data collection in a better way, giving me better results. Then we are talking about analytical models, and we're going to talk about this more in detail. So you have descriptive, you have diagnostic, you have predictive, and you have prescriptive. So what do I mean by descriptive? Descriptive mainly, we will study this in detail, but let me just introduce you all to it. Descriptive more talks about data based on past historical data that we know as. So what does that tell me? Like we discussed some time back, it's going to tell me how does a particular strategy behaved in the past. How was my profits looking in the past? What was the product sales? Has the products changed over a period of time? Has the customer behavior, consumer behavior changed? All of that. So a lot of my marketing, and if it's available, depends on the historical data, which analysis I would get when I do it in a descriptive analytics. Then we come to diagnostic analysis. So what do I talk about when it comes to diagnostic analysis? I talk about why happened, what happened, what was the reason behind this entire behavior, or why do we see a change in the pattern right now? Also, suppose if I'm analyzing maybe data over the past 5 years and I see a certain dip or a rise in a particular year, what was the reason for that dip or rise? Was there something differently that was done that year that worked really well or did not work very well? So you have a lot of things to put about when it comes to diagnostic. Is I try to diagnose what it is. Then we talk about predictive, like the name in itself suggested. What exactly is the future looking like? Can I predict the future correctly? Can I predict the sales, or can I predict the marketing result or the profit for the next couple of months or this particular year in an accurate manner? What exactly is the prediction that we are talking about? And prescriptive is more of how exactly can I now apply all of this information so that I can get a better actionable insight to work with, or that I can implement with my process or my marketing strategy for that matter. So now let's come back and come to the next point, which is planning your campaigns. Now I have analyzed, I have all the patterns that is required in the data, I have all the relevant information. Now when I'm basically planning the campaign, what can I do? I will now, all this analysis that I have, I'll combine it with what we call as human creativity. I will look at this data, and a professional would sit and work out what is the exact strategy that would work over here. What is a strategy that I can build that will get me better results? Then we come to another part, which is developing the measurement and the KPIs. So what exactly is my KPI? So here, if you see, we have a term called as CPC, which stands for cost per customer. That means, or clicks per customer. So do I just want to keep the entire goal of my strategy around how many likes I've got, or how much is the clicks that the customer is doing on my website. No, I would want to go beyond this, where I am increasing my consumer base. What is the behavior? Am I acquiring more loyalty from my customers? Or is there any way I can increase the loyalty with my customers? Because the more the loyalty of your customers, the more of free branding and free promotion they're going to be able to do for you. Then has the sales gone over, or is my marketing campaign giving me a profitable result in terms of ROI and all of this? So you want to go beyond just clicks or likes when it comes to your marketing strategy. Then visualization and storytelling. Charts and dashboards that don't suck. This is now a very important concept. So visualization, I'm sure we all know about, is basically using more of graphs and pictures to explain what we need to say. They say a picture speaks 1,000 words. So you would want to get into that, where you want to be able to put in more visualization so that information is quickly understandable at the glance of looking at it. And the people who are involved in the decision-making process are able to make decisions just based looking on the information that is quickly available, rather than having to go through millions of sentences of write-ups and pages of write-ups and all of that, which over a period of time is going to get boring and they might not even read the entire report. So in this cases, what becomes important is I maximize the use of graphs and charts in my presentation so that it tells me much more than a report or 1,000-word report can tell me. Now, along with that, another very important concept of data visualization that we are looking at is what we call as business storytelling or visual storytelling. So what do I mean by just storytelling? That means people, the reason of all this coming up is people tend to remember stories. Today also, if I ask you about maybe a certain belief system or certain aspects of your life, you might remember the story behind it. Maybe a story that you heard, or so a story that you lived with. So it would be a story that helps us easily connect and understand the situation. So the same thing has to be applied to your business also. Your charts or your visualization have to tell the story of where the data came from, a story of how the data was combined, or in general, a story of how everything worked together. And finally, a story of what is exactly the insight that we are looking at. That's the reason, if you see over here, the last thing mentions dashboards that don't suck. So when you have a captivating dashboard with the right information, with the story-based information, what is going to happen is you're basically going to be able to look at a more intuitive and a presentable dashboard. Then we have optimizing conversion, which is testing UX, personalization, engagement. So what is the user experience that you're looking at? Are you able to get the right user experience? Is the user experience enhanced by the new updates that have been made? Is the content more personalized? Are you getting more engagement based on that? Or do you want to increase the engagement? And all of these comes when I'm talking about optimizing the conversion. Then we come to the third point, the next point, which talks about set the data-driven advertising, which is budget allocation, return on ad spend, which is ROAS, bidding and targeting. So obviously, when I'm looking at more data-driven, I can now assign the right budget. What will the budget depend on? How much is the entire analysis project that I'm building going to take? What is the budget that needs to be allocated? Now, based on that, what is the budget that I need to spend maybe on an ad? How much budget do I need to spend on bidding on certain programs? How much budget do I need to spend when I'm targeting certain segments of customers? And finally, what is the return that I'm getting on all of these investment? That if I'm spending maybe 10,000 rupees on maybe an ad, what is the kind of, am I gaining 100 customers, am I gaining 1,000 customers, just gaining 10 customers? Again, when the return you calculate on all these numbers, they are going to be slightly different, and you want to gain maximum by that. Another thing we talk about is analyze attribution, top down and bottom up, converge channels optimization. Are you using top down and bottom up converge? That means either I go down top down, I go up bottom up, I converge all my results, and I basically understand how the channels are working together, how the various data fields are working together, which is the, if I have a regression model, then which are the factors that are affecting the data or my sales and indirectly my profits? How can I optimize the channel so that I get a maximum conversion or a maximum result on the same? Research on tools and develop the marketing tech stack. This is also because today there are so many tools that are available in the market. Now, when you have so many tools that are available in the market, how do I decide that which is the tool right for me? So right at the beginning, when I'm setting the objectives, I'm building the data collection or knowing where my data is, or I would also want to set up what exactly is the kind of technology I want to use. What is also the skills that are available in my team? Do I want to stick to the skills that the team has, or do I want to build a better data stack that is available, or can I use a better stack which might require investment, but is that investment good in the long term, not good in the long term? And all of that you will need to research based on your needs and parameters. Okay, so now let's come to another important part after our data collection. So right now we spoke about data and the various gaps we spoke about the various tasks. So the next step after data collection is the data cleaning and the preparation of the data. Now, understand one thing, that we in the data world, it is very commonly said that garbage in is garbage out. That means if I do not clean or if I do not pre-process my data, I'm going to have a lot of junk in my data. When I throw the junk, the result or the predictive modeling, ultimately, please understand that when we're talking about predictions or machine learning models, they are going to do it based on the data that you have provided. It's like saying when you're teaching a child new words or new things, you teach them the right information. Why? Because they do not understand the difference between right and wrong. So whatever you teach them is what they'll understand. Similarly, so if I teach them wrong, they're going to learn wrong. That's the reason the same thing applies over here. So when we get the data and when you're combining data from various sources or integrating the data in various formats, you might merge the data, you might append the data, all of that comes into the pictures. There's going to be a lot of inconsistencies that we call in the data. So what are the inconsistencies? There's probably going to be some errors in the data. The information is not right, or the information needs to be validated. There are outliers. That means there are people who are, like we say, there is an unusual in every 5, 10 people, 100 people. So there might be somebody having an unusual activity that you want to remove, because outliers tend to skew your data. So making it more right, left skewed or right skewed. Then you have missing values. So data that is missing, probably because of a system error, data did not get captured and all of that. So how do I take care of all these things that we talk about in the data? Then the data cleaning process is carried out to ensure data quality. So now when we pre-processing, first we identify what are all the discrepancies or the inconsistencies in the data. And based on that, what we do is we basically now begin to clean the data. Why? So that we get a better data quality, and when I put it into the system, I get a better output. So a little more, I remove out the duplicates. I maybe normalize the outliers. I take care of the missing values and all of that to ensure a better data quality. So this is the task we spoke about, where I spoke about duplicate entries, missing values, removing outliers, standardizing data formats, normalizing, merging data from different formats, formatting and making it usable for analysis. So standardizing data formats is also a very important step, where A very simple example would be if I have a date fields, all the date fields in my data should be based on a particular format. So if you are using MMDDYY in everywhere, you want to ensure that all the date fields are following exactly the same format, which makes calculations easier, which makes people doing the analysis jobs easier. And again, the same thing goes for formatting and merging of data we spoke about. How do I clean the data? So I can use Python, I can use R, where I can basically, what I can do is write custom codes based on what is the requirement. Understand that when it comes to data cleaning tasks, the previous point, a lot of it depends on what is the business requirement, what is the business goal, how does the business want the data to be handled. So that's the reason when I write something in maybe a Python or a R, which is a code-based language, what I'm doing is basically ensuring that it meets all the business requirements. So another thing, if you do not have the technical know-how, you can maybe even take ETL tools which do not require you to write a code. So if you do not, if you're running maybe an entrepreneurial team structure for mathematic analytics and you do not in your team know anyone who can write a Python or R today, we don't have to be dependent on code-based languages only or code-based tools. We have a lot of no-code tools also that work on UI. So all I have to do is maybe drag and drop, modify certain parameters, and it would take care of the rest, which is also known as a ETL process, which is extract, transform, and load. What does that tell me? That means I pull the data. Extract talks about pulling the data from the relevant data source. Transform basically talks about modifying, cleaning, pre-processing of the data that we just spoke about. And load is finally after the data is clean and in the relevant format, I basically put it into the tool. Then we talk about data cleaning or the extra ETL tools that we have. Now understand, how do these ETL tool works? They basically work on business rules or, as we call them, machine learning algorithms. So I do not need to use machine learning algorithms only for maybe cleaning my data or for prediction specifically. I can use that for cleaning out my data also. Why? Because it is not only able to pull out data from a wide number of sources, it is also able to see hidden patterns in the data. That means it will actually tell me where the data is being inconsistent or the quality of the data is bad, and where I can basically now use what is available with me to clean out this information and before it is stored in what we call as data warehouses, where it's just entire large chunks of data, including databases, data tables, files, everything that is stored in a data warehouse. So I can very well use ML algorithms not only for predicting my analysis but also for basically cleaning out my data. Now there are four types of ETL tools that you need to know about. One is the enterprise software ETL tools, then you have the open source ETL tools, you have the cloud-based ETL tools, and the custom ETL tools. Obviously, the open source tools are much cheaper. The enterprise software like Salesforce or maybe CRM would come at a certain cost, and the custom ETL tools will also come at a certain cost. And right now, since everything is moving on to the cloud, you're looking at a lot of cloud-based tools also that are available. There is competition in each and every market, even as far as the ETL tools are concerned. So, common ETL tools, you have Integrator, IO, IBM DataState, Oracle DataConver, Integrator, Fivetran, or Coupler.io, SAS Data Management, Talent and Open Studio, Penthouse Data Integration, Singer, Hadoop. Hadoop is mainly specifically only for big data. Then you have Datadodo, AWS Google, Glue, Azure Data Factory, Google Data, Google Cloud Dataflow, Stitch, Informatica, PowerCenter, Skyvia, Portable. When it comes to obviously IBM DataState, it will work more with IBM tools. the AWS Google Glue would work with AWS, the Azure would work with Microsoft, and the Google Cloud Dataflow would work with Google Services. Now, this is also what we spoke. We are going to add in a certain few more parameters when it comes to data analytics. So we are looking at maybe 5-6 different types of data analytics that we need to know about. We have descriptive, we have diagnostic, predictive, prescriptive, normative, and cognitive. So descriptive is hindsight, which we already spoke about, but I'll just speak about it once more, which is what, how. That means what has happened, all your analysis that is based on past data that is there. Then diagnostic, foresight influences, which basically talks about why did it happen. Like I said, diagnostic is looking at what happened. Was there a spike in the previous years or in a certain month in the last year? Why did that spike occur? Did I change the marketing strategy with the weather change that affected my result? Was there a change somewhere that affected or caused that spike to appear? Then you have the predictive, what could happen, which is insight and why. So what is could happen or what could be the possible results that could be taken? What do we see in the future? Then we come to prescriptive, which is context and remedial, what action could be taken. That means what are the, basic on the analysis that we are providing, what are the results we could possibly be looking at, what could be the changes that we are looking at, and all of those that could be done. Then you have normative, which is scenario prediction. That means in this particular scenario, what are the possible results that could occur, and all of those. Then we have cognitive, which is mimic human brain, what more data is to be exploited. Is there some data we could have done with, or is there any other information available that could add on to my data analysis a bit more? Now we come to what we spoke about sometime back, which is data visualization and report. So visualizing the findings is crucial for better comprehension and communication. Data visualized techniques such as charts, graphs, dashboards, histograms, heat map are used to present results in a clear and concise manner. Decisions maker then collaborate with marketing teams to make effective business decisions for the organization. Insights and findings are compiled into a comprehensive report or presentation shared with stakeholders, marketing teams, or executives. Reports includes a summary of the analysis, highlights key insights, and recommends actionable strategies based on the findings. So before we go on to the interpretation, let's talk about data visualization. So when it comes to analysis, at the end of the day, why am I running the analysis? So that I can get better insight into the findings. How do I now show these findings or insights that I have? Like I said, I could write a 10-page report, or I could just put in like 5 graphs, or maybe even lesser number of graphs, and maybe visualize the branding, which may, what does it do? It now makes it easier for me to understand as a analyst at the data. So if I share this with the people involved in my project or analysis, they're able to now make better understanding, and you're able to communicate your findings in a more clear and concise manner. So you have various data visualized techniques that are there. You have charts, graphs, you have dashboards, you have stories, you have heat maps, whatever works depending on the source of data. So there is no one way to do or represent a particular data. It depends on what do you require. Decision maker then collaborate with marketing teams to make effective business decisions for the organization. So now, once the decision makers are able to look at these results, they now will work with the marketing team, or the marketing team would look at the analysis, the findings that you're giving them, and will be able to make more better based decisions when it comes to the business decision or aligning with the business objective that we defined right at the beginning. Insights and findings are now will now be compiled. So I'll now prepare a report or a story or a dashboard with all the information that is there and share it with the stakeholders. Who are the stakeholders? Anybody. So the definition of stakeholders say that anybody who is impacted by the project in a positive or in a negative way, or anybody who has the power to influence the project, is becomes a stakeholder. So it could be your management, who's the sponsor. It could be your users, in case you're building an app at the end of the for as a marketing activity. Anybody involved with the project would become a stakeholder. You might want to share the information with primary stakeholders or key decision makers when it comes to that. Or like it says over here, marketing team, executives who are basically going to now design marketing strategies based on these analysis. So what does it include? Summaries, key highlights, key insights that are there, and what are possibly the actionable strategies. Like you have an Excel report and it tells you, oh, this was what was found and this is the possible solution. It could be different, but it could be something that you could take care of. Interpretation and insights. So analyze data and visualizations are interpreted to gain insight into customer behavior, campaign performance, market trends, or other relevant aspects. So just completing the first point. Now understand, my analysis does not end when I derive actionable insights. Once I've gained the insights, it also becomes necessary to monitor what are the strategies based on those insights. Are the strategies going in the right direction? So if I've developed a new marketing campaign based on the analysis that I've done, is that campaign performing in the way that I need to, it needs to perform? Can we tweak something to so that we get a better performance? And this needs to be done in real time. That means when the study, the campaign is in the market, I would want to monitor it on regular basis to understand what is going right, what is not working, how can I make this work better? Is there something that you can do to make this campaign, the campaign performance better, and all of that. So, has the market trend changed all of a sudden? Do you need to tweak the campaign based on that market trend? Insights help understand what is working and what needs improvement. So, what is working, what is not working? Is there an improvement that needs to be done? That's what we just spoke about. It's important to align with the initial marketing and KPIs to determine the success of the campaign and identify areas for optimization. So right at the beginning, if you remember, when we were defining the objectives, we were also defining what are the KPIs or the business metrics that would define the success of my project. So now what I would want to check is, are these insights that I'm deriving, is it in line with the KPIs that I derive for the success of my project, or is it in line with, in general, with the campaign that I'm running? What are the business metrics even for the campaign to be a success? And where is that small tweaking or that optimization that I could possibly do? So now let's talk about learning, optimization, and implementation. Now understand that just by gaining the insight or by gaining the analysis and developing the an action based on the insight that you've received is not the end of the matter. So you obviously did a certain amount of analysis, you gained an insight, and the right action would be to implement or to act on that insight. So you did. So maybe it said that you have to devise a new marketing campaign, and you devise the new marketing campaign based on that insight. But is designing an act on that insight the end of the result? Like I said, no. It is a continuous process of learning, relearning, unlearning. So I will need to, like anything that you build and you or a prototype, you need to implement it. So you will basically embed it or implement it And then you will see, or just how we spoke about, we will see basically how it performs in the system. Is there something that is not working right? Do I need to optimize it a little more? Something that will help me improve the generalized performance, the overall performance of the entire campaign. Is there something, a strategy that is not aligning with the campaign performance? Do I need to make new tactics? So that is what it talks about, that it is a continuous, maybe an iterative and an ongoing approach where testing, learning, optimization to improve overall performance by adjusting the strategy and tactics as needed. The ability to test and evaluate the effect of each marketing campaign on consumers and probability is essential to understand what was working and what wasn't, when or if things needed to change or how. So what you have to do is continuously test on a regular ongoing basis. Maybe you can ask your team to design a dashboard for you, which will help you the effect of the marketing campaign. Is it working in the right direction? Is it aligning with the metrics that you had set for your business objective or for the marketing campaign to be considered a success? Is the marketing campaign even having the right impact on the consumers? Is it driving the profitability in the direction that it needs to be driving it as? So if it is working, then great. But if it doesn't work, what doesn't work? What is not working? Is there something that I could change to get a better result? Or how can I now make it work better? And the final step involves implementing recommended strategies and monitoring their performance. This is what we talk about, that every time I have a strategy, I will need to monitor the performance. I will need to implement it, track it against the KPIs or the metrics that have been set. So again, the final step also talks about businesses ensure the performance of implemented strategies and initiatives. KPIs are tracked and compared against predefined goals. So what does it help you as you understand? Like the last point says, areas of improvement. It helps you to validate the effectiveness of the marketing campaign. Analytics for future iterations. So have you done all the analysis that will basically ensure that in the future what is going to happen, or how will this campaign work in the future? So this is what we also have just spoken about, which is it being an iterative and ongoing process. So what do I mean it being by an ongoing and iterative process? That all the goals you may not be achieved in the first time due to possible failures or execution, unsatisfactory results, or discovery of some data quality issues. So it does not mean that sometimes it does not have to happen that you get things right the first time itself. Like I said right at the beginning, when we were talking about data pre-processing and data cleaning, we spoke about it, garbage in being garbage out. This is exactly what it talks about, that maybe you build a campaign, it did not work right. The model that you did not was not giving the right prediction. And after multiple attempts, maybe one try, two try, you kept trying it and it did not work. Then you have to go back to the drawing board. You have to go back to the storyboard where you're able to discover what are the quality issues or why is this not working. When it worked with the training and testing data, why is it not working with the live data? And it's that time that you come to know that maybe what happened was there were data quality issues which were not dealt with. Maybe, or they were dealt with but not in the right manner. Maybe you cleaned out or you replaced the outliers with maybe the maximum value that was there. Or maybe you needed to remove them out of the data because there were too many parameters where these respondents were failing, or these consumers were failing at multiple points in data quality. So maybe removing them would have been a better example, better way of dealing with them. So considering all of that, so maybe the results or the model that came out was not as effective as it needed to be. And you will need to go back. So when things are not happening right, even after you tweaking the campaign and making things, and it's still not working, it's better to go back to scratch or back to the drawing board and try to understand where is it not working. The second point talks about will necessitate revisiting the steps, identifying the bottleneck, and resolve issues to enhance the accuracy of your insight, decision making, and results. Exactly what I spoke about right now. That at times it is important to understand what did you do in the past. How did you deal with this issue that was there in the data or the data quality issue that existed? How exactly did you take care of it or did you work with it? Can we do something that will help make the result a little better or enhance the entire insights that you have? The identified issues or errors can include missing or invalid data in data cleaning processes, ignoring which might lead to inaccurate predictions. However, the quality of the data has to improve. Understand, that's where we said you will have to possibly go back and come back between a new insight and the data quality, or a new model and the data quality data, to understand what is that is causing this issue in the data. Like I said, it not necessarily, as it mentions here, not dealt with. It could also be dealt with, but maybe you would need to deal it with in a different manner is also important. Ongoing. The process will be ongoing for an ongoing concern. Also, as new data becomes available and marketing objectives evolve, the process may need to be repeated to ensure that strategies remain aligned with business goals and market conditions. Now, when I talk about ongoing, see, a campaign is not going to stop today. I might be running a campaign for a week or a month, but then there is a change in trend. There is a change in the market. So when the new data also becomes available, I will still need to run it back to my model to ensure that it is still aligned with my business marketing objective or my business objectives. And I will also, now I will need to align this result with the marketing conditions also. And then based on that, in case the alignment is missing, then probably the next step I will need to take is to basically now work with the modify my strategy or the object, the campaign that I'm using more to match the new insight that I've received.